The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
And now, Sports Talk 1240.
All right, folks, welcome back. Hour number two, Sports Talk 1240, coming right at you. Sunday night, April 12th. I'm Derek Wasiak. Across the way is John Sweeney.
Hello.
You had 60 minutes of basketball in the first hour with Bill Donahue. We're going to take you through the next 60 minutes and give you a full NHL preview with a heavy focus on the two local teams. So why don't we start with the New York Rangers, since they finished first in the Metropolitan Division and first in the NHL. First time since the last Stanley Cup that they won. But all you Ranger fans out there, you know full well that the season didn't start the way you would have liked. Eric Stepan was hurt early on, missed the first month. Ryan McDonagh got hurt in the second month, so that took you basically through the first 25 or so games where the Rangers started out at 500, basically. 11 wins, 10 losses, and 4 overtime losses. In the mix, you had one big-time win, an overtime victory in New Jersey where Kevin Klein gave you a nice overtime winner, something to see for the future of this season and the start of maybe filling in for the play that was lost from last year's playoff team, and Anton Strahlman, who had left free agency-wise, went to Tampa along with Brian Boyle. So the Rangers had a few guys they were plugging in, a few newcomers. But then in December, and once again Kevin Klein, things started to change. December 8th versus the team the Rangers will see in the playoffs in this first round, the Pittsburgh Penguins. And Kevin Klein had a huge overtime game winner. And from 11-10-3, the Rangers went on a serious run, folks. They won 8 games in a row starting December 8th. They rolled off 13 out of 14 games with victories, and road trips they took were impressive. A lot of firsts, a lot of team records this year. One thing we noticed, three wins out in Western Canada during that streak. The second part of that 13 out of 14 streak, they took 3 games in California. First time in team history, swept Western Canada, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary. They swept California, L.A., San Jose, and Anaheim, and raise up that music just a little bit, Brian. And all of a sudden, the train got rolling, folks. And they were past the new year, and the Rangers put themselves in a first-place race with the Islanders, the Capitals, and the Pittsburgh Penguins. And things got better from there. They just kept winning. And all of a sudden, the end of January, the number one goalie, King Henry, got hurt. And Prince Cam stepped in. And Cam Talbot went on a run with the Rangers that nobody would have expected. Nobody expected this team to win the division at that point, with Lundqvist going down for 25 games. But the Rangers rolled off an 18-4-3 streak without Henry. And Talbot was 16-4-3 during that time. Took home the extra effort award for the Rangers because of that. And also another big guy in that streak was Kevin Hayes during those 25 games. 20 points in 25 games. As big a player for the Rangers as any on the team. And the big turning point towards heading for first place, probably February 16th. A big 6-5 win against the Islanders. When the Rangers trailed 3 times by 2 goals. Came back to tie it twice. Won the game in regulation, first time they did that since 1980, and the game-winning goal was from Kevin Klein. And then the trade deadline came. They picked up Keith Yandle. They signed Zucco. And 10 games in a row, the Rangers didn't give up more than 2 goals in a game. More winning streaks on the horizon. And on March 8th, they were 3 points behind the Islanders in first place. On March 10th, they beat them 2-1. With Kevin Hayes with a huge goal in that game. And a week later, the Rangers were 5 points up and in first place for good. And they went from there. And King Henry came back towards the end of March. and the Rangers put one more five-game win streak together to finish things off, winning the division title out in Minnesota, winning the NHL title for the regular season at New Jersey, and broke their franchise record of road wins from last year by winning 28 road games this year. So if I summed it up in less than 5 minutes, and I'm sure we'll get to more on things the Rangers accomplished this season when I bring in a special guest as this song winds up, the Rangers are rolling. And that's the theme.
Rangers rolling.
Ranger train just keeps on rolling. They're going to meet the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round. And folks, it's going to be good. All right, so folks, for you tonight, we're going to cover the Rangers. We're going to cover the Islanders. We're going to start with the Rangers because they did finish in first place.
Presents.
So we're going to have two guests tonight in the first half here. We're going to have Rick Carpinella from the Journal News and Rangers Report. He's covered the Rangers since I was in fourth grade, John Boy.
70s, yeah.
Woo!
He's fantastic.
He is as knowledgeable as they come on Rangers history and day in and day out hockey, which is what you want leading into the playoffs. You want that info. In the second half after the break, we'll get Jamie Stewart from News 12 Long Island. He's a sports anchor there. Covers the Islanders. Their last season on Long Island. So we bring in Long Island's finest to cover them after the break. But is our guest set up so far? Okay, we're going to get him on the line soon. We're going to give him a call. And while we get him on the line, John, let's talk about what happened here the last couple of months, last month of the season.
Let me just say this, first of all.
Go ahead.
Islander fan. You know, I love the Islanders. I'm a passionate Islander fan. I have to give props out to what the Rangers did this year.
Yeah, you have.
It was very impressive.
I mean, how
very
could
impressive.
You do that, right?
They did. Not only the President's Trophy, how good they played, how good Cam Talbot played, how good Lundqvist came back and played well. The team, they got a young team, too. They got the American line. And also Nash played fantastic.
Right.
I'm giving all the props for the Rangers are going to do good. They're,
yeah, Nash won the team MVP this year, and he deserved it.
And he deserved
two goals.
Yes. He did nothing in the playoffs last year.
He played a two-way game all season.
This year, he stepped it up this year, and it showed.
Yeah.
And the Rangers are a well-balanced, good team, and someone from the East is going to win. It's probably, more than likely, I don't want to put the jinx on anybody, but it's probably going to be the Rangers. They got a good team.
They're balanced, and let me say this. They only lost three games in a regulation once this year, and that was the second, third, and fourth games of the season. And they only lost three games in a row in any fashion one other time, and that was within that first 25 games. So since December 6th, the Rangers haven't lost more than two in a row.
That's insane.
Haven't lost more
incredible.
Than two in
that's,
a row. And I think since December 8th, they only lost two in a row like three times. That's in 4 months. They rolled off 42 wins, 12 losses, and three overtime losses in the last 57 games after that first 25-game stretch. They got things in order. Perfect trade at the deadline. Freed up some money. Signed Zuccarello. And like I said during the little monologue, the three most important players, certain guys did their job. Like Nash did his job. The defense as a whole did their job. Obviously King Henry. But for this particular season and what they accomplished, Cam Talbot, outstanding.
Outstanding.
In
what did he end up with? 21 wins for the year?
He wound up, both goalies, 20-plus wins and five shutouts apiece, both of them.
That's insane.
That's something that rarely
ever happens. That's like a number one goalie. Number one goalie on somebody else's team.
Right.
What Talbot did this year.
And then Kevin Klein, the guy did a great job from the get-go defensively, very sound all season, filling in. I mean, Stroman left, and he had to fill some big minutes there defensively, but the offense he put up and the game-winning goals and some of the clutch moments like against the Islanders.
Yeah.
On February 16th, like I said, that big win streak when they had beaten Pittsburgh in overtime back on December 8th to start things off on the big run towards where they are now. Kevin Klein's been a huge part of that defense and more than anybody expected. And the third guy, which gave you more than anybody expected for the Rangers, these three guys, Cam Talbot, Kevin Klein, was Kevin Hayes.
Hayes played fantastic.
He has been outstanding for a rookie, and he got stronger as the season went on. And during that streak with Henrik Lundqvist out, 20 points in 25 games. He was his big a player, probably the biggest offensive player.
Yeah.
And he was just clutch.
Also,
extremely clutch, and all the way through to the end of the season. He's been doing a great job.
And you know how I feel about him. I'm not a big fan of him, but Kreider had a great year this year, too.
Chris Kreider had
an okay
season.
Yeah.
He had some great moments, but he has to be a weapon for the Rangers in the postseason that no other team has. So with that, let's bring in our guest. We got Rick Carpinello of the General News with us to break things down with Rangers Penguins coming up here this week. Rick, how you doing tonight?
How's it going, Rick?
Great, Derek. How you doing?
I'm doing great because the team really has done a lot this year to give you nothing but a positive feeling heading into the playoffs. Am I right, Rick? I mean, get started with the kind of things you've been covering on Rangers Report. I've seen 1,000 different stats that point to nothing but good things lying ahead.
Yeah, they're obviously the best team in the East. They've got the target on their backs this year, unlike other years. I don't think they're prohibitive favorites because I think that the way the East is,
right.
I honestly believe that any of the eight teams could come out. And I honestly believe that any of the eight could go out in the first round. So I don't think anything's guaranteed.
Right.
But they're the best team going in. I don't think there's any question about it.
Yeah, they're giving themselves a really good chance here. I think L.A. missed the playoffs. Boston missed the playoffs. And Pittsburgh stumbled all the way into the playoffs. So if you're asking me, I think the best teams in the East, I think the Rangers have as good a chance as any, like you said. I also think Tampa Bay has a great chance. Mm-hmm. I think Ottawa has a great chance to pull an upset. And regardless of yesterday's game, I really do think that the Washington Capitals, with their power play and the way they're built, just in terms of the experience they put behind the bench with Barry Trotz and the season they've hoped he had between the pipes, I think they have a good chance. They have a good chance if they get through the first round because they've stumbled when they've had the seasons like the Rangers had this year, right?
Yeah, I think that a lot of teams are going to be dangerous in those roles. Like you said, Ottawa's going to be a dangerous team.
Yeah.
I think the Islanders are going to be a dangerous team because now they get a fresh start. They get to push the reset button after coming stumbling down the stretch, and they're still a good team. They're still the same team that was out there, for the first 3 or 4 months, but they stumbled, and they give up a lot. There's no question defensively they're challenged. Especially if Hamonic doesn't play. If Hamonic doesn't play, they're in real trouble.
Right.
But their goalie, you can question their goalie up and down. But, right now they're going to play with house money. They hit the reset button. They get rid of all that expectation that they put on themselves the first 3 or 4 months. And they go in, and they're dangerous. And also, and I don't want to break down every series for you in one sentence here, but I think that if Washington plays like idiots like they did yesterday or against the Rangers.
Right.
Where they're running around and trying to be the big bad Bruins or the Flyers of the 70s, the Islanders will put a hurt on them. I think the Islanders will just eat that up. If the Caps want to play hockey, they're the better team. But if they want to fool around with the Islanders, they're going to find a lot of trouble. And I think they're lucky that they got that they ended up with the home ice advantage because I think the Coliseum's going to be a riot. In whatever home games the Islanders have. I think it's going to be nuts.
Listen, they're going to fill that arena, and they're going to go crazy. Like you said, it's a brand new – listen, 6 months are in the books, and now you got 2 months of hockey starting up. Everyone's got the same record. I like the mentality that the Rangers are approaching this with, and they're matching it with their actions. So they're playing the Penguins. Everybody knows about Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. Neither of them have fared well this year against the Rangers head-to-head. Rangers 3-0-1. Fleury, probably a better season than most people thought. I think he set a personal record with 10 shutouts. He's had a decent season, but you know what? They got rid of the coach and the GM, and they had a little turnover there. Some bad injuries, and Mr. Letang amongst them is the most crucial one.
Yeah.
And more than likely, he is out. You never know what goes on, but more than likely, he's going to be out. He's been with the concussions, not very good. So let's talk about this series more in depth right now. How do you see coming in terms of the Rangers' approach and handling Malkin and Crosby?
Well, the thing is they've done it in the past. They held them down pretty good last year during the season. They stopped Crosby almost completely in the playoffs. 7 games, I think he had 3 points.
Right.
And Malkin had 3 goals, if I'm not mistaken. And this season, during the regular season, Crosby didn't do anything against them in the 4 games, really. So they have that experience against those guys. And I think, in the past, when they've been hurt by the Penguins, it's been the other guys. It's been the Neils, who's no longer around. James Neal was a thorn in their side. Kunitz has hurt them. Letang has hurt them. And they're missing a lot of those guys now. They lost Niskanen and Norpik on the back end. The Olimata's out. I don't know if he's coming back for the series. Their defense is a mess right now. And their offense, I think they scored 1.67 goals per game the last 15 games.
Yeah, offensively, the last couple weeks, they have done nothing really at all. And overall in the season, Chris Kunitz has not given them not nearly what they expect offensively. 17 goals, that's it.
Yeah. I think he was overrated last year. I thought he was a product of the team that he was on last year.
What's strange about this is last time I had you on was either before or during the Flyer series. It might have been after game one. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last year when I thought about what was going to go on, I had the Rangers. I think you had them beating Philly, too. And I thought they were going to lose to Pittsburgh. And when they were down 3-1, it certainly looked like it was going that way.
It was over.
But this year, coming into the series, I have a totally different feeling. One, the Rangers have an excellent penalty kill. And they're one of the best defensive teams in hockey. Now, you have to add to that the Rangers have scored more goals than they've scored since any year post-lockout, other than that first year with Yager's team record in points and goals. I mean, they're putting offense with their defense, indicative, you know, plus 60, whatever the goal differential this year was. But now I look at going into a series, we came back from 3-1, we beat Pittsburgh. Now we're going up against them in the first round. And I truly believe that because of past experience, the Rangers aren't taking anything for granted. I think they are focused. I think their actions speak volumes to that end. I'm a lot more confident going into the series that the Rangers have the better four lines. And certainly, especially if Klein comes back, but I mean, even if he doesn't, Hunwick has been excellent defensively. As that seventh defenseman plugging in, I mean, you couldn't ask for more. So I think that depth-wise, their defense is clearly better, especially with Letang out, and they're going to be able to roll four lines and not have to worry about, you know, giving heavy minutes like I think Pittsburgh's going to wind up doing with Malkin especially and Crosby.
Yeah, and you know, the thing that's going to serve the Rangers really well, I think, is having been through 9 playoff series in 3 years.
Right.
A lot of these guys have been through all of them, and I think that's really going to, you know, it's hard to understand. In a playoff series, you get down by a game, or you get down by, you know, 2 games, and what happens, or you get up a game and how you handle that, or you know, you have a bad loss and how you come back from that. It's important to understand those ups and downs within a playoff series, and I think that, you know, they benefited. Say whatever you want about Brad Richards, but he was a huge influence the 3 years he was here. He played in all nine playoff series in 3 years.
Right.
He was a big influence. I think Dan Boyle is going to be a big influence. Marty San Luis, these guys have been there, and they've cut their teeth in the playoffs. And I think that the younger guys, and when I say younger now, I mean McDonough, Stahl, Girardi, younger than those guys, have been around now for a lot of relative success. And I think that's going to really serve them well as we go forward, and as they come against little pieces of adversity that are bound to hit you in a playoff series. Every series has adversity. I mean, very, very rarely do you see a team go 4-0. And if you don't go, you know, very rarely do you see a series that's not 1-1 after 2 or not 2-2 after 4. So,
no, I'm with you on that.
I mean, that's going to happen. I mean, they're not going to – I don't think they're sleeping Pittsburgh.
No, but I have the confidence, especially with the way the Rangers have played on the road, not only this year but in prior years. I have confidence that they'll win the series in at least 6 games. That's personally what I think. And you just brought up in terms of the experience of the prior series. I went back and looked at it, Rick. In 2012 when they went to the semifinals, there's 6 guys from that team on this team that went through that together, that whole playoff run.
Yeah.
There's 9 guys from the next year when they lost to Boston.
Right.
And from last year's team, excluding the goalies, the fact that I'm in, it's 14 position players back from last year's playoff run and 16 with the goalies. And that, to me, is all about what I've been focused on with the Rangers, with them building from within. A lot of core young guys, more than I've seen, and going back to when I was young, and they've mixed in some key veterans.
Right.
You know, and then you add this trade, you know, and I think it settled things down. Not that they weren't doing very well at the point, but at the trade deadline, to add Yandel and free up money where you could sign Zuccarello, settle him down a little more, him getting back to better offensive production, and the team in general just got even better defensively from that point. They went 10 straight games where they didn't give up more than 2 goals right from that trade deadline on. And I think the whole key is that Yandel has to be a factor in 2 regards. One, with the power play. He's got to put up points on the power play. And secondly, that unit of 6, because we don't have, let's say, a Shea Weber or a P.K. Subban with a booming shot from the point, you know, Or an Erik Karlsson who puts up 65 points plus, or even Letang when he's healthy. I think that the unit of 6 has to be more dominant than any team they come up against. And that's where that trade has to pay dividends.
Yeah, and I think Yandle's been really good lately. I think the power play the last two games at least has shown me something in terms of gaining the zone and setting up. If nothing else, you know, for a while they weren't doing that. For a while they'd lose the first faceoff, they'd go out of the zone. They'd have to go back and get it, reset up, then they'd have trouble getting it in, and forwards weren't moving their feet. I don't think that their struggles have been on the point, you know, caused by the point guys.
Right.
That said, Yandle and Boyle have to be better on the points. But it has to start with the forwards, I think. And the power play has shown me a little bit the last couple of games. It was awful. It was really awful for a while. And the worst part of it was that 5-on-3 a few games ago. That was just vicious, brutal. But I think that it's coming. And if you recall, when they were down 3-1 last year, and they were being booed off the ice at the Garden.
Yep, the 4-2 game,
They were 0-36 at that point on the power play.
Right.
And I think that's when Kreider came back. And the power play started kicking one in now and then. And that's all it has to do. It doesn't have to be dominant. It doesn't have to score two goals a game. It doesn't have to, you know, even be 25%.
Right.
But it's got to kick one in once in a while.
Yeah, I think that because the penalty kill has been one of the tops in the league this year, and Pittsburgh also. But you have to make Pittsburgh pay because they are one of the more penalized teams in the league. So as long as you make them pay in the right spots, you will be fine.
Downey's gonna put them on power play.
Right.
There's no question. So you gotta make him pay. And I think if you look, I don't have it in front of me, but if you look back at the games against Penguins this year, I think twice Downey took penalties and they made him pay right away.
Right.
And, you know, I think those were the games that they bombed them. So they bombed them 5-0, 5-2.
Early in the season, yeah. And the game in January, that 5-2 win out in Pittsburgh, that was a big one on a Sunday afternoon, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I think those were the games in which Downey took a really dumb penalty.
Right.
And they made him pay both times. And I think that's what they have to do. And that also has to serve as a deterrent because they're not a tough team. And we saw that yesterday. They don't back down. They don't get intimidated, but they do get smacked around a little bit, and that's going to happen.
Yeah. They got Tanner Glass on that fourth line, which I like. I mean, you got Dominic Moore and Jesper Fast. They kill penalties together, and Fast is and Moore great on the forecheck. And since the trade deadline, now that you brought up the toughness factor, I mean, Tanner Glass has been good to the point where if he can play the way he has since March 1st. He will do at least an adequate job of filling the shoes of a Dan Carcillo and a Derek Dorsett from last year. And that's another big positive that I take from the last month.
Yeah. The thing with Glass, I mean, and a lot of fans if you follow social media, fans hate him.
I know.
And I don't think that's as deserved as it is. He hasn't been great, but he's been better lately. The thing that bothers me about Glass as the so-called deterrent, which I don't believe in, is that his fights seem to be only when he gets hit, only when somebody's going after him.
Right.
Like yesterday with Gleason. And I think, you know, he needs to be more of the guy who, when Faust gets cross-checked, you know, to step in and do something about that, or when, you know, when Miller's getting racked, banged around a little bit, or when somebody's taking liberties with other guys.
No, I agree with that.
I think he needs to have more of an open eye toward, you know, sticking up for my teammates, not just fighting when somebody challenges him to fight.
No, I agree with that. I think Alain Vigneault, he had Tanner when he was in Vancouver on that Stanley Cup run, too. I think he'll make sure that he's aware of
what there's probably not going to be a lot of fighting in the playoffs.
No, I don't think so. But at least I see that he's showing signs of being able to fill that role that those guys had last year.
Yeah, the four signs have been better since Faust was put on it.
Right.
And I think he goes back there now, you know, with Nash coming back.
Right. Now you got Hayes with St. Louis and Hagelin. And I like that line combination. You got the big guy in the middle, the two speedy little guys on the wings. So what's your feeling about there? To me, one of the keys when I look overall, and even immediately in the series, is Marty St. Louis is not supposed to be your leading scorer like he was last year with the 8 goals. Rick Nash has to be, which I fully expect redemption on his part. But other guys have to put up more points, and I think it starts with guys like a Zuccarello, like a Derek Brassard. I think, you know, St. Louis' value will come with the big goal in the right spot and his leadership on and off the ice, but he cannot be your leading goal scorer. Do you agree with that, or do you think?
Well, I do, but I also think he's going to be pretty good in these playoffs because I think he's refreshed now. He got a little break, and he's another guy who gets to hit the reset. I mean, he didn't have a great season. It was probably the worst season of his career.
Yeah.
And he was still up there in points.
He still had 50-plus points as a 39-year-old. Yeah.
So, but you know, this is the worst season of his career probably, and he gets to do it over. And he's also playing for his career here. I mean, he's got a – there's no guarantee that he comes back next year.
No, if he does, it would be a one-year type deal if it fits the framework of their salary cap.
Gonna
it's
going to be a questionable money.
Yeah, I don't even worry about that, Rick. I worry about right now.
No, but I mean, he's playing for that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he knows that, you know, if he has a big playoff, he comes back.
Yep.
And if he doesn't, then there's a question. Then it's not certain. But he's motivated by winning at his age, and I think he's going to have a good playoff. I really do. And that line has been terrific. I mean, Hayes is just a monster.
He's been the most important player outside of Cam Talbot this second half, since the All-Star break, at least. Yeah, I mean, it's unreal what he's done.
Yeah, and if he ever adds a little nastiness to his game, at that size, my goodness, he'll be unstoppable.
He's young. It's his first year in the league, right? I mean, he's 22, first year in the league, and he got stronger as the season went on, which doesn't happen a lot with college players.
No, it's shocking. And he's a really confident kid, very cocky. He knows he's good, and that'll serve him well. There's nothing wrong with that as long as, you know, he's willing to put in the work and not say, hey, I'm a star.
Right.
And he won't. I don't think he will, but he's been tremendous.
Yep,
and what a pair of hands for a big guy.
I mean, excellent puck handling ability.
Yeah.
He really, and I've seen him go end to end that one game out in Colorado, that 6-3 win. I mean, the kid put up like 3 points. I mean, he's been clutch at the right time for this team, that big goal against the Islanders in the last win. It was almost like a center in basketball underneath the basket and going up and with the slam dunk. I mean, he just undressed Halak on that one. And he's done a lot of that recently, which is great to see. And now you got this All-American line, right? It's a nice, fancy nickname for all you writers out there. How do you feel about that line with Stepan, Kreider, and Miller? Because Miller has been real good last 10 to 15 games, and Kreider has shown you glimpses, and maybe a little more than glimpses, but he's shown you what he needs to be. He needs to be that ultimate weapon that no other team has in the playoffs because there is no other guy at 6'3", 2 1/4 that can skate as fast as him. So talk about that line a little bit.
And he might be the strongest guy in the league, physically strongest. But you know that line. I mean, first of all, Kreider, he needs to show me that he's just going to do it every night, and he hasn't. And let's be fair. I mean, he had a streak there when the Rangers lost whatever it was, 3 out of 4. LA during that LA streak.
Oh, and they dropped the back-to-back games. Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
they lost the Washington game, Boston game. He just disappeared. Now he came back and he had a really good stretch, and then he's had a couple more now, you know, just recently where he doesn't make an impact. And I think he needs to be an impact player every night, and he will be, and he should be, but he doesn't have the he doesn't have that consistency in his game yet. And I think there's a few guys like that. I think, you know, Brassard disappears once in a while.
Once in a while, I agree with you. On both of them. You know what the best example of Chris Kreider is, Rick? The game against Washington when Talbot stood on his head. They won the game, what was it, 3-1 or whatever it was? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the game, he just accelerated off a turnover. Broke up the ice. I mean, St. Louis had to do everything he could do just to keep up with him.
Exactly.
And he fed him the puck, and they buried the game right there. And I remember saying to my dad, if I was coaching, I'd show him that clip 10 times. Because I agree with what you're saying. With him, it's like it's a shift-to-shift effort level thing.
Yeah.
Like his youthful, what is he, early 20s, and like you said, as strong as he is and as fast, that's the way I'm looking at the game, just the way you're looking at it. And you're saying you can't understand why this guy's not bringing it more consistently game to game like that.
And I think his hockey IQ is a little bit lacking.
Yeah.
You know, his away from the puck stuff is lacking still. And he'll get it. But, you know, the other thing he did during that stretch where he was coming on was three times there was a 50-50 puck off a faceoff or a lost faceoff.
Yep.
And he recovered the puck and turned into a goal. Three times.
With his speed. Games, I think it was. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that's the kind of play that kid's got to bring. And I think he will. I think he's shown that he can score in the playoffs. He's shown that he loves the playoffs. And I thought, you know, him coming back last year was as big a factor as the emotional thing with San Luis' mother.
Right.
In the turnaround against Pittsburgh. I thought his return to the lineup was as big a factor as anything.
Yeah, and he needs to be. Unlike Hayes, I think Hayes is actually better with the puck. yeah. in tight space. Kreider, it's all about his speed freeing him up because he still catches defensemen and shocks them that he blows past them. And you see those long-distance passes off the boards by Stepan or the breaks up ice, and that's where his game is. He needs the space where he can just embarrass you with his speed. So it's just a different approach with that. And for a little guy, Hagelin plays that same type of game at times. He did that very well against Montreal in the playoffs last year.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot more of that recently with him.
Yeah, and he does it on the PK.
Yes.
He does it more. He hurts you more on the PK. Now, they don't forecheck as much as they used to.
Right.
And, you know, under Tortorella, he was a really effective forechecker. Even last year when AV's first year. He was really effective on the forecheck because he got on the puck so quickly. And I don't think that this system really plays into that strength of his as much. This is more of a rush team. And I'm a little surprised that he doesn't do more offensively off the rush because of his speed. But I guess he doesn't have that, you know, Nash is really good with the give and go, and Kreider's really good at taking off, and like you said, Stepan finds him.
Yes.
Hagelin doesn't have that part of his game yet, and I don't know if it's his line mates or what it is, but that's something that you can exploit an opponent again with your third line because of that speed if he ever figures that out.
Yeah, I think that the experience of prior playoffs will help a guy like Hagelin maybe achieve a little more than he did in the regular season in terms of point production.
Right, he's been around for this whole thing, right? He's been around for all nine, I think.
Close to it at the least. I mean, he's a good young player. Let me see. He's been around. Yeah, he was there in 2012.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he was up for, he was fifth in the Calder voting that year, yeah.
Right. So he
38 points in the regular season in 2012.
Right. So he's got a lot of experience now, too. And you mentioned Miller. And now here's a kid that he's a playoff, I mean, he's built for the playoffs.
Right.
You know, speed, size, and aggressiveness.
Yeah, he could throw the body. Look what he did to Orpik yesterday. Wasn't too happy, and take that.
So, you know, he's a guy who's... He's starting to figure it out, too.
Right.
And he had a long way to go, too. He had a long way from the doghouse to Hartford to the doghouse.
Different paths, you know, in developments of players. And maybe this finally clicked for him. Maybe look at Zuccarello last year. Before the beginning of the season last year, he got sat out a few games. You know, who knew what was going on? And then he got plugged in, and boom, 59 points later, he led the team in scoring, whatever it was.
Right. So life goes on, you know.
Yeah, and now that I brought up Zuccarello, let's talk about that one line before I let you go. Zuccarello, Broussard, and Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Nash, 4 goals in the playoffs, 35 games. This is all about redemption for Rick Nash.
Yeah.
He is a great, he is an excellent hockey player, but now it's the postseason. Would you agree with the statement that I've been saying all along in terms of being a diehard fan that he'll be judged in the playoffs, and I expect nothing less on a long playoff run if it gets to that. 10-plus goals is what they would need from a guy like Rick Nash.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, he's got to score. There's no question about it. He had 4 last year, and 3 of them were against Montreal, or were they all against Montreal? I think they might have all been against Montreal.
He had at least 3 against them.
Yeah, and 2.
Well, the other one was in the prior season, Rick. He was in the prior season playoff run. He had 1 goal. I think he had 3 last year. So
you're right. So, and they were all against Montreal. But
at any
rate, you know, I'm willing to say cut him some slack because of the concussions. I really think he wasn't right at any point last year.
Right.
And he wasn't going into the dirty areas. He wasn't playing aggressively. I thought he played well at points in the playoffs. I thought he played really well again in the finals.
Right.
But that's not enough. It's not enough for him to play well. You admire what he does when he doesn't have the puck. You admire his three-zone play. You admire his going to those areas and his standing in front of the net on the power play. But he has to score. It is a bottom line game with him.
Yeah.
And so I do think you cut him some slack because he wasn't healthy at any point last year. And
I do, but that's last year and the year before.
Right.
Starting Thursday, now I'm looking at him, and I want to see it. I want the redemption. Hey, listen, when they won the cup back in '94, all right, '92 they failed against Pittsburgh, albeit they were defending a title and won another one. But you know what? They came in last place the next year. So even for guys like Messier or Richter, that year was about redemption, and there's nothing sweeter than that. Because then you forget about the other years. That's just the way it is.
No doubt. And you know what? If they win the cup and he scores 3 goals again, are you really going to care? No.
Not at all.
But are they going to win a cup with him scoring 3 goals? Probably not.
Probably not. That's right.
Yeah. So you're right. And it's time for him to, you know, step on the big stage. He's going to be here for a while more.
Yeah, I know.
He's not at the end of a contract.
I like him. He's a hard worker, but I want to see your goal scorer. I got
to
see the goals.
You have to give him that, too, though. You have to give him that, too. If, you know, I understand you're going to be judged on the playoffs, but you have to give him what he did this year.
He's a team MVP.
You have to say he worked his ass off.
He did.
Can I say that on the round?
No, yeah, you can, and I think he's ready to go. I really do. I think it's all about redemption for him. I think he's fully aware of what's gone on in his professional career, and I think he's ready for a big postseason. So give us a prediction for the first round.
Well, I've got the Rangers in six.
Okay, so you agree with me. Okay, that's what I thought, too. All right.
I was going to go seven. Just knowing
that's too easy. They always play seven-game series.
It is, because I don't understand their problem with.
I think this team has something else going on.
I'm not saying the Rangers are going to lose. I think the Rangers are going to win five games myself. But I'm just saying, do you think the Rangers got the better of the picks because if Boston would have came in, Boston would have been a little tougher, or if they would have got Ottawa as the other wild card instead of Pittsburgh limping in the way they did?
I mean, my opinion,
I think the Rangers are going all the way this year because the way they're playing it.
Upsets come from anywhere, but I'd rather play a team stumbling and playing as poorly as Pittsburgh is than a team that is as hot as Ottawa. That's just how I look at that.
With the goalie like that. But, you know, I had this argument with a lot of people, and I thought they should want Boston. And a lot of people are like, no.
Right.
There'll be a physical price to pay.
And yeah, just the history from 2 years ago.
I think they could have gotten rid of Boston really quickly.
Oh, really?
They might have. It really just depends. I just think Boston, if they're on their game, they're a better defensive team than Pittsburgh.
But they're so slow.
I understand.
Chara's hurt. I don't think Rask has had a great year.
Right.
I just think that team was red. They're terrible. They were terrible. Especially down the stretch,
they were bad. Right. They.
I mean, we saw their last couple of games of the season that they had to win. They stunk.
Yeah.
So I thought the Rangers would have been better off playing that.
Well, you know what? We got the old Patrick Division matchups here. Rangers, Penguins.
It's going to be interesting.
Capitals, Islanders.
It's going to be good. That's better than hockey playoff.
It's
going
to be great, Rick. I want to thank you for joining us.
Oh, anytime.
All right, and hopefully we get you back on the second and third round if the Rangers do what they're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, happy to do it. Thanks, guys.
All right, thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
He's fantastic. He's good as always.
All right, back after the break, and we're going to do a little Eye on the Chat, bringing in Jamie Stewart from News 12, Long Island.
And AM 1240 WGBB are proud to announce the new Sports Talk 1240, along with the launch of a brand new website at sportstalk1240.com. Check out our new site for information about upcoming shows, as well as easy access to past shows, articles, our live studio webcam, and more. Of course, be sure to tune in to Sports Talk 1240 every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. on AM 1240 WGBB. Or visit sportstalk1240.com for ways to listen to the live broadcast online or from your iPhone. We're excited about these new changes and hope you will be too.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you could find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240. Check us out every Sunday night at 8 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. And visit us online at sportstalk1240.com.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip change. Use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York. Breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
All right, folks, we're back. Second part of the show. We're going to do a little preview of the New York Islanders-Washington Capitals matchup coming up this week, starting on Wednesday. And we want to welcome in Jamie Stewart from News 12 Long Island. Jamie Stewart, thank you for joining us tonight.
How's it going, Jamie?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing good because, Jamie, it's 6 months in the book of NHL hockey, and now the playoff tournament starts. And the Islanders are getting set for an old Patrick Division matchup with the Capitals starting Wednesday night on the road. And we want to get your take on what's been going on. I know you did a little piece on News 12 about the history of the Coliseum. First of all, tell us about that and how'd that go.
Well, that was great. I mean, we've been obviously covering the Islanders for a long time, and this year we racked up our coverage. We did a half-hour special. We got all the great footage from the glory years. We talked to all the great legends of the Stanley Cup teams. We did a nice round table. We had Pat LaFontaine come in. Talk to some of the guys that you haven't seen in a while, like a Pierre Turgeon or Darius Kasparaitis. So that was fun. And talk to some fans who have had season tickets since, 73. So just, really soaking in the tradition of the Islanders. And, it's certainly a shame as you talk about the great year they're having and then they move to Brooklyn. But, that being said, it's been a great season nonetheless. And, they're a dangerous team come playoff time.
I agree with you 100% about the Islanders when they're on their move. It's very sad. I love the Islanders. I had season tickets for years, and it is kind of sad that they're going to leave. I was very little disappointed in yesterday's the build up before that because really they didn't have. I thought they were going to. I know the Buffalo game they brought some old players back, but I thought they were going to bring back the Cup guys for the last game and this and that, and I felt like they dropped the ball a little on the ceremonial end of the last regular season game there.
Yeah, you got to understand that they've been bringing guys back all season long. So, they pretty much brought everyone back. Now, I understand what you're saying, like the last night, let's bring out, everyone again. But, right. It is very tough to get, with schedules and logistics, to get everybody that has been a part of the Isles organization, for one night. So that's why they sort of scattered it out throughout the year to sort of make every night special. But I understand what you're saying. But again, there's still more games to be played at the Coliseum. But they've been basically, if you talk to them, they'll say, hey, we've been doing basically the tribute, bringing guys back, for the last 4 months. So we pretty much had no one left by the time the last game was coming up.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. It's a dangerous – the Islanders could be very, very dangerous in the playoffs, but I just – that the last – since March 3rd, they haven't played that well at all.
No.
They have 6 wins since then, and that's the only thing that worries me. Well, what do you think? What do you think of that?
Look, the first few months of the season, they were the surprise of the league, and they were one of the top teams, if not the top team at some point. They certainly have cooled off basically a .500 team the last 30 or so games. Maybe they've slowed down a little bit. They're off a, crazy pace. They ran some hot goaltenders. And the Alposo injury hurt them, I think, more than people are talking about.
He missed the 22 games, yeah.
When he missed a lot. And when he came back, he really hasn't done anything. So he's kind of been, he basically canceled him out for the last, 30-something games. So, they've had some injuries. They've been nicked up. And I'm a little worried about Halak, to be honest with you. And listen, he's been, pretty, pretty good all season long. But the last few games, he hasn't been, and he's let up, he let up a decent amount of goals. And I obviously remember that goal in Philly with, basically 2 seconds left that cost them home ice, which was, he flubbed it, but he's someone that worries me. I have no doubt that he's going to come in and give you, at least one really good, great game in the playoffs. But is he going to follow that up with a clunker, or is he going to be consistent? I'm not sure.
Well, I agree with you with that. I mean, Halak's 10-11 in the playoffs. Unless he puts the team on his back like he did with Montreal in the 2009-2010 season, that's what I thought was going to happen. But we'll see what happens.
That's one. See, fellas, I'm going to give you an ounce of happiness here.
Which he could do. He has potential to do it. Yes,
he has at least for the Islanders. Before we get to this current series coming up, Halak was the main goalie for Montreal back in 2010 when they went to the semifinals, and he not only upset a 54-win team in Washington, but then he took out Pittsburgh. So he has stolen two series in his one big playoff run. So that actually could work to their advantage in coming into this series. So now I understand that, you know, recently the Islanders, the way they've played, they've blown a lot of two-goal leads. You know, that superstar getting out to a 19-7 record now.
Right.
Seems like it's distant in the past because of the way the last 2-3 weeks have gone. But heading into this series with one of the top five players, and here's the intriguing part. You got a top five player against a top five player in the league with Tavares going up against Ovechkin. So let's talk about this series and give us your thoughts going into Washington Wednesday.
I'll say this. My sports producer, Rob Del Muro, is a, you know, as diehard Islander fan as you could come by. And he, you know, he's a guy that he didn't mind playing the Capitals as the season was getting down. He wanted to avoid the Penguins in the final few weeks. He didn't want to deal with the Penguins and just, you know, their star players, regardless of the Islanders' success. I, on the other hand, have been watching Washington for the last few weeks, and I kept on telling Rob, I said, you know, they're picking up steam, and, you know, Ovechkin is on fire, and they're starting to pull out these gritty wins night after night, and they're getting hot at the right time. This is a scary series for me as far as, you know, from the Islanders' perspective. Ovechkin is on fire, and Ovechkin kills the Islanders regardless.
Yeah.
You know, he's 53 goals this year. He's 4 goals in 4 games against the Islanders. Tavares is probably going to be close to equaling him because Tavares obviously is an MVP candidate himself. I just think this is a very tough matchup, and I think the home ice thing, you know, maybe some people say it's overrated. I would like the Islanders' chances a lot more had they not blown that game the other night. They're going to have to
The Flyers or yesterday, last night's game?
The Flyer game, totally. But even last night's game, I mean, they had a 2-goal lead with 10 minutes left.
Well, that to me, that summed up the whole Islander season this year, really. They played.
Oh, yeah.
They were playing great like they did in the beginning. Yeah, they were up 3-1. And then they came back like what happened after the All-Star break. I mean, were they 15 or 14 after the All-Star break?
Right. And some people say, hey, some people jump on Capuano for that. Some people jump on mental toughness for that. I can't really put a finger on as to why they blow those leads late. I can't put a finger as to why 3 straight games they let up a goal in the final 10 seconds of a period.
Yes.
You know, I don't know, but all I know is it's going to lose a series for them if they keep it up.
If the Islanders get swept by Washington, just say, right? Which, let's hope it's not going to happen. I know that. I know it's not going to happen. Because the Islanders...
Just give a simple, if they lose a series.
If they lose a series, do you think the coach comes back next year? Or they go out and get a guy like Tortorella that's a little more tougher on the players and everything?
You're already planning for the future.
I think if they win the series, he's obviously staying.
Yes.
As he should. He's had a great season, regardless of the 500 record in the last 30 games. The Isles have, you know, 100 points for the first time in, like, 30 years.
30 years, yes.
So the guy's had a great season. Now, diehard fans will sit there and say, what is he doing with the lineup? Why is he playing this guy? Why is he playing that guy? But there are ebbs and flows to the season. This is still a very young team. But to answer your question, if the Isles lose in the opening round,
which we hope doesn't happen,
I would not be surprised to see him go.
Okay.
It could happen.
Because you got to remember, there's a lot of buzz about this team, and they are moving to Brooklyn.
And they get new owners also.
They all of a sudden bring in a name coach to go with that move.
Right.
That's a lot of juice.
Yeah.
Right, so coming into this series, Jamie, you're dealing with the number one power play in Washington, going up against the Islanders, who have the worst penalty killing percentage of all the teams that made the playoffs. They've been better recently, for the most part.
They have.
But I would say, for a team like the Islanders, that's one thing they need to avoid, which they've been pretty good. They're one of the least penalized teams in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in terms of Halak having a big series, because he's had some playoff experience, and I think number two would be the Islanders staying out of the box, because you do not want to give Ovechkin the extra offensive chances that get created. I mean, between him and Nicholas Backstrom, and on the point with John Carlson and Mike Green, I mean, they are just like clockwork on the power play. 25%, I think, for the season. They are number one. So that would be one thing that you'd want to counter against, right?
No, I mean, yeah, I think you totally hit the nail on the head. I mean, their power play is the best. It's just, you know, light years ahead of the Islanders' power play.
Right.
They were 3-for-9, I think, on the power play against the Islanders this season. you know, you're right. I mean, their power play is great. And you're right, the Isles, you know, penalty kill has been better lately. And the Isles have actually, you know, had some shorthanded goals lately. And last night, you know, last night they had a bunch of chances for some shorthanded goals. So, I think the Islanders, look, it's no secret, you know, their speed is what's going to win in this series if they win in this series. Caps are a big, heavy team. It's going to be a physical series.
Yep.
You know,
even Ovechkin, he throws the body relentlessly.
Well, it was kind of like that game last night against Columbus. Yeah. I mean, the only thing they have Ovechkin, you know, Ovechkin's the greatest goal scorer in our era right now.
One of the greatest of all time.
But Columbus was trying to push them around last night. And
I was at the game. That was one physical game, man, from the get-go. And this is, you know, this is the Islander team that was playing for the playoffs, and Columbus was playing for nothing. And, you know, they were giving it to the Islanders, and they outplayed the Islanders for a while. But give the Islanders credit. You know, they got their legs under them. They got their skill. They started playing fast, and they should have won the game. They
should have won the game.
So
That's been the problem with them the last four to 6 weeks, though, right? A lot of games that they should have won, and they didn't for whatever reason.
Absolutely.
And it comes back to defensive accountability. They're just not strong on the puck in their own zone at the wrong time. They're just not moving it out of harm's way in smart fashion. And they help create offense for the other team late in games.
No, and you're right. And they make dumb turnovers at the wrong time. I'll tell you another thing is I don't know the extent of it yet, but Hamonic has the injury.
Right.
And that's a huge loss if – they haven't given a word yet as to his availability for game one Wednesday.
Right.
It doesn't look good, but I don't want to speculate. But, I mean, if he's missing games, then that's a big blow.
Yeah, you know what? Because they're not deep on DC. I think the edges that the Capitals have coming in, one is Braden Holtby. He's had a great season.
Mm.
He's going to be up for the Vezina when it's all – I mean, Price is going to win it, but he'll be up there in the top three in voting without question. He's had a great season. He broke some team records, tied only the goalies' records for wins in the season and games played. He's played a lot of games, which the Islanders will try to feast on that in you know, exhausting him by making him work. But he's been equal to the task. The other thing is they're great behind the bench. You know, they got rid of Boudreaux. His replacement was out, and Barry Trotz comes in. He's got a lot of experience.
Yeah.
Did a great job in Nashville.
Right.
And their other edge, I think, really is on defense because they added Niskanen and Brooks Orpik from Pittsburgh in the offseason, sort of like what the Islanders did with their defense, adding Nicoletti and Boychuk. But you're putting those guys with John Carlson and Mike Green. And Mike Green has been more defensively sound this year playing for Barry Trotz, as has Ovechkin, went from like a minus 35 to a plus 10 with his 53 goals. And Backstrom might be the difference. I think that Ryan Strom is an up-and-coming playmaker, but Nick Backstrom is there. So I think the Islanders really need to, like I said, stay out of the box, which they're good at. And the other thing is they have been good on the power play against Washington. So when Washington does take penalties, because they're like Pittsburgh, they take a lot of penalties. The Islanders have to make them pay. I've heard a lot about the Islanders being too crafty and moving the puck too much, and they need to shoot more. They got to make Washington pay when they take penalties because, like you said before, Jamie, they're a heavy team. They like to play a physical game.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think, and look, you want to have, obviously, a better defense, and there's no question that the Caps do, and that's going to be, you know, a big edge for them.
Right.
And the Isles, I think they were 4-for-13 on the power play against the Caps this year. You know, I've been at so many games this year where the Isles are on the power play, and you're just, you know, here. Look, everybody yells, shoot, every second. But the Islanders, they think they get points by passing.
Right.
And, you know how it is in the playoffs. I mean, you know, just throw a puck at the net and see what happens. Get a dirty goal somewhere. And the Isles, that's something that the Islanders just, you know, have, for some reason are reluctant to do. And, you know, the Capitals are going to do it. So they're going to have to find a way to, you know, get physical and to make the Capitals pay.
Well, Jamie, before we let you go, give us one X-factor player. Who do you think really needs to step up and be a big producer in this series?
Well, I mean, I think the Islanders have to match the physicality of Washington.
Right.
Washington's going to look to push them around. The Islanders, I think, were a little starstruck when they got into Pittsburgh for game one in the playoffs a few years ago. You remember they got blown out, and then they got their feet under them. I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think they're ready. I think they're much more, you know, more experienced, and they got better guys. So I think that's good. As far as, you know, an X-Factor guy, Hamonic out, that's a big problem. Honestly, I know this is a cop-out, but look, they're going to win this series if Halak plays great.
No, that's true.
If Halak plays like he plays the last 2.5 weeks,
they're going to lose in six.
Right. So you think, because you said Washington with their physical presence, you think maybe that the Islanders' fourth line has to be a big factor? Because they do throw the body a lot, Clutterbuck and Martin,
right,
if he gets back.
What about Martin? Anything on Martin? Is he coming back?
Yeah, no word yet. I haven't heard yet about Martin. I think he was skating before.
All right.
But that fourth line has given them a lot of energy throughout the year. They gave a lot of energy the other night. No, so that's a good point.
I mean, they need Travis Hamonic back, though, too, as well. Definitely need him back there.
Well, yeah. I mean, and I don't know. The Islanders won't, you know, they've gone to a new thing now where basically the entire NHL has turned into Phil Belichick and everybody just says,
right,
you know, lower body.
That's another whole show. I still don't understand that myself.
The NHL.
I still don't understand it.
Thank you. Jamie, give us a prediction for the series.
I want to go with my heart, but I have to go with my head. I'm going Caps in six.
Caps in six. I say Caps in seven.
All right.
What do you say, John?
I say Islanders in six.
Look, he's staying positive.
That's right.
Let's end
that.
I drink
the Kool-Aid. Let me tell you that. I drink the Kool-Aid.
Jamie, I want to thank you for joining us. And if they win the series, my partner superstitious like me, so you'll have to come back for the second round. So
yes.
I want to thank you for joining us on short notice.
Thank you.
And we'll see you out at the Coliseum.
You got it, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I was at that game.
Now we can turn the music up just a little more. This song is just about how I feel about the Rangers and how they finished up the season, John. How about you? How do you feel about the Rangers and how they finished?
I told you in the beginning of the show I felt about the Rangers. That's about enough. I can go with it.
I want to express my happiness in the form of a song.
Well, listen to me.
And Casey and the Sunshine Band.
I want to say, you got to congratulate me for the Islanders making the playoffs, 47 wins, 6 wins away from you. Okay, from getting the President's Trophy, we have 6 wins away.
I believe you finished 12 points behind us.
Okay, but don't worry.
That's a lot of points.
That's 6 games. That's 6 more wins. And also, you should be congratulating me for the New York Islanders. I'm very proud of you guys.
No matter what I say about the Islanders. This tradition is on the move.
Whatever I say about the Islanders, I want to say this. I am very proud of this team. They withstood a lot, and they played great. Tavares, all of them. Boychuk, even Josh Bailey, which I have comments about. There you go. And Islanders, like I said, Islanders in six. You say Caps in six.
I say Caps in seven. Jamie Stewart has Caps in six. I have Caps in seven.
And I have the Rangers winning in five.
And I have the Rangers in six, along with Carpinello.
Okay.
And you have Ovechkin versus Tavares.
And Johnny T.
Youth of the Islanders up against that strong defense in the Capitals.
I'm going with Halak on his back, taking the team. And the defense stepping up. Martin's coming back. I don't know. Hamonic makes me worried. I need him. We need him back, though. We need him now. DeHaan will step it up and do it, though.
All right. Well, folks, it all starts Wednesday night, April 15th. Islanders Caps down in Washington. On Thursday, get set and tune in. Rangers Pittsburgh starting at the Garden. So enjoy the playoffs.
I will be here Sunday.
Next month.
Sunday, 12 o'clock. Islanders vs. Washington. Let's go.
The views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.